Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Because I don't want you to... I always joke with people, incriminate yourself, you know, what, you know, here or there. So, yeah.
No, I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. Give me one more minute, brother, and we'll get started. I just got to pull the notes. And where are the notes? Right there. Boom. Got it. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, so I do have, well, I'm just going to introduce you, and then we're going to have a great time talking about music, right?
Okay.
All right, man. And are we recording? Yes, we are. And perfect. Okay. Okay. And if I, is there any questions that you have for me before we get started?
No. So you'll just, once we start, you'll just start. And then that'll, yeah. And then when you cut it, you'll cut it. Cause I'm sure you do an edit of everything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cause we always pre-record. Cause I've never done this live yet. I don't think I ever will, you know, and I don't know, maybe I, you know, but yeah, I will edit some parts out if you don't think it'll fit the show or what you want to relate to the public, please let me know and I'll gladly edit out anything you want. Okay, man.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. All right, guys. So here we go. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Hey, everybody, welcome back to When Words Fail, Music Speaks podcast, where we fight depression with the power of music. I'm your handicapped host, James Cox, and I have a great, great interview today for you. I don't think we've interviewed anybody like this yet on our podcast, so this is going to be special for you and me. John Templeton owns Jib, J-I-B, Machine Records, based in Cleveland, Ohio, you know?
That's but, correct.
Yeah.
Last name is Temple Man.
Okay.
Templeton is a very common mistake. I was actually playing.
I can't hear you for some reason.
You can't hear me?
No. Hang on. Okay. We're back.
Check. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It's me for some reason. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay. So it's Temple Man, not Templeton.
Temple Man, correct. Yeah. So I actually, an artist on our label, a good friend of mine, passed away a couple months ago. And we had a celebration of life last week. And I performed a couple of his songs. And on the flyer, they had John Templeton. It happens all the time. It's common. I don't know why. I don't know why that goes to that, but my whole family has experienced this for many, many years. It's not a new thing.
just FYI, I think your PR thanks for Templeton because I got it from her, and I think that she knows you as Templeton. So you might want to bring that up, which I love her to death. I love her to death. I think she's the greatest thing ever, you know. But FYI, you know, but she thinks Templeton is your name. So Temple Man is John Temple Man.
Yes, sir.
And you do own Jib, J-I-B, Machine Records, right?
That's correct, okay. Yes.
And you're based in Cleveland, Ohio, as far as I know, correct?
That is right, Cleveland, Ohio.
Are we a Cleveland Browns fan, by chance?
Unfortunately, we are.
Okay. because I hear some good things, but I hear some awful bad things, because my best friend is like a football lover. He loves, I don't watch the sport, you know, I used to with my dad, but he's like, the Cleveland Browns aren't doing so hot during the past couple of decades, you know, so I don't know. Yeah.
We had another rough season.
Yeah.
But we have the Guardians, our baseball team, and they were three games away from the World Series last year. And the Cavs currently have the best record in the NBA. So, right. I mean, we're other than the Browns, we're doing okay sports-wise here in Cleveland right now. All right.
Which is good because my dad used to watch the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
And we went to my dad is a retired colonel, you know, so we went up there where. So he took me to a Washington Redskins game and a Tampa Bay Buccaneers because we lived in Florida. That was the hottest day on earth that day. You know, so yeah, of course,
it's hot down there.
Yeah, it's tremendously hot. Yeah, yeah.
Nice shirt. I like your shirt.
Thank you. Right on. I think my mom got this from me, and she's like, "I bought this by mistake. Do you want it?" And I'm like, "Yes, give it to me," because free shirts are good for me. You know, so free is for me. You know, so I'm sure free is for you too, right? But I'm gonna do something that I did with my other interviews in the past, and they loved it. So. So what rock genre, what genres do you really love? Cause your machine record based has mostly rock and punk in it, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. I would say that it's Jib Machine has various forms of rock on it, from a punk, hard rock, blues rock, folk rock.
Okay.
We over the last couple of years added a couple of imprints, like offshoot labels.
Yeah.
One is called Colossal Force Records, which is pretty much the metal side of things, and then Electric Stick Records, which is like EDM and remixes and things of that nature. But Jib pretty much try to keep that to different, you know, different genres within the rock genre for the most part.
Right. So I'm gonna. Okay. So, are you a fan of country music by chance at all? Do you mess around with country music?
I like old school country music, like outlaw country and that sort of thing.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, this urban country stuff that's going on now, I'm not into it, man.
I'm a
For
big
pop
country fan.
country, I'm not into it. I'm not into it.
I'm a big fan of country, but country now is like, because I think Chris Stapleton's bringing back the old school, and Combs is bringing back the old school vibe, and I love it. But okay, so what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to show you some vinyl records that I own, and you can tell me if you like, what are your feelings about that album per se, and if you have any thoughts on the band,
Okay, got it.
but I
Got
think
it.
this will be fun.
Okay, this will be fun. I got it.
So my first record is I love this band. I love this album. So I just want to see what your thoughts about this one. It's Deftones' White Pony. Do you have any?
Oh yeah. One of my favorite, well, probably one of my favorite records of that genre.
Yes.
I got White Pony back in the day when it came out, and it was the first Deftones album that I ever purchased,
Yeah.
and I love it to this day. I like the Deftones a lot, but that is my favorite album of theirs by far. And like I said, one of the best of the, if you want to call it nu metal, the best of that genre. Great choice, man. White
Yeah.
Pony. White Pony's
Okay.
classic.
There you go.
It's phenomenal.
I think it's around a fur, or what's their second album? Their second album with the My Own Summer, is it?
It was Around the Fur and hold on.
I got the record right here. I don't know why I'm not getting it.
Why can't I remember
I
this?
know, right? Yeah. Hold on, just a minute. I got it right here. Hold on. Yeah. I think I got it right here with me. Matter of
Okay.
fact, yeah. I forget. Yeah, there it is. I got a CD of it. Is Around the Fur. I was
Around the
right.
Fur, yeah,
I was
that.
right. Their first album was almost similar, but
I can't remember.
I
I
can't
can't remember
remember
the
their
name.
first album. Maybe, but Around the Fur was okay. So that album has some of the best songs on it, but White
Yeah,
Pony was more polished, I think, and
I would agree.
a lot more groovier, I guess that's what you thought about it too.
Yeah, I think it's their masterpiece. I mean,
Right.
they've made good albums since, like Diamond Eyes, and they've made
Yeah.
really good. The last one, the Ohms record they made, was really good.
It's
The last
killer.
one, but yeah, White Ponies, I think.
Yeah, that's great. It's great. It's great. So I'm not, okay. So I've heard your. I can't remember which song I heard of yours, but it seemed to be more reminiscent of Megadeth sounding.
Okay.
I think one of your songs was acoustic, but it sounded like the reminiscence of Megadeth. But we're
Okay.
not gonna talk about Megadeth yet.
All right.
We're gonna talk about their other band. That band is Metallica. Okay, so I have Load right here.
I own that same record
Nice, yeah.
on vinyl. Yeah.
This one was so hard for me to find. I don't know why it just was hard for me to find. But what are your thoughts? Do you think that this is like it's a classic, or is it like a eh?
No,
I can leave it.
here's my friends and I have talked about this before.
Okay, good.
I think if Metallica had really had the problem with the Load records,
Yeah.
Load Reload, there isn't a problem with them. They just happened to be released after the Black Album. So there was so much expectation. Plus, they changed their look and cut their hair and stuff. They kind
Yeah.
of their image, and people that rubbed some people the wrong way, especially the Metallica diehards. But do you go back now in hindsight and listen to both of those albums, and they're phenomenal.
Right.
I just watched the video for Memory Remains last week because Marianne Faithfull passed away, and
Yeah.
it just that where they're on that like pendulum and it's going, it's there in that room. I don't know if you ever saw that video, and
Oh,
it's going.
yeah.
I mean, both of those records are phenomenal.
Right, yeah.
I mean, Metallica's probably the weakest album Metallica made was Saint Anger. And I mean, I know everyone gets down on them about that, but it is true. It's probably their worst record, but there's still even some good songs
Yeah.
on Saint Anger. But the Load albums are
Our
awesome.
killer, yeah.
I think they're great.
I
Very well produced,
will.
good songwriting, very well produced. They kind of took what they did on the Black Album and went in a different direction with it,
Right.
and I think artistic.
I think they went more like a little bit more country with Load. because of Mama Said, you know, and Ronnie. Ronnie was an old Western country style, and I figured that, you know, they tried something different, you know, and I think a lot of people didn't dig it, you know. But yeah, but
There was
I
still a lot of heavy stuff on the on those too, like Bleeding Me and Outlaw Torn, and you know those types of tracks too. I mean, there's a lot of what's Devil Dance is Upload. I mean, there's some good heavy
Killer
grips on
stuff.
those records too.
I still like the thing that they haven't found their old school yet, because Death Magnetic to now, it's like not even close to Reload and before. So I don't know if they're, you know,
Did you
coming.
like what'd you think of 72 Seasons? Did you like 72
I
Seasons?
liked it, but it's not it's not the past music, you know, because when I think of Metallica, I think about In Your Face and they're trying to come back. I think, you know, they're not quite there yet, you know. But I think they got, but for real, I think when they get rid of Jason, everything went, you
They
know, the
did
other
change.
way. Yeah,
They did change.
in a big way. But okay,
Good
so we
point.
got yeah, we, okay, so we got a few more
Go
records.
ahead.
Okay, Soundgarden, Super Unknown, nope,
From the town of
down the upside, yeah.
I think it's a good record, but with me with Soundgarden, by far and away, I think their best album is Bad Motor Finger.
Bad Motor Finger,
I
buddy.
love Bad Motor Finger. It
Yeah.
was right when I was basically graduating from high school and going to college. That's when like that album came out, Pearl Jam 10, all the classic grunge records, Alice in Chains, Dirt. Of course, Nevermind,
Right.
Nirvana. I just think Bad Motor Finger is probably one of my favorite records ever, let alone Soundgarden. Down on the Upside was pretty good. I think that's probably one of their weaker albums. I mean, I like Super Unknown, but not even nearly as much as Bad Motor Finger. So I don't, but Down on the Upside's
Down
still
on the
good.
upside, killer, yeah.
It's still Soundgarden. It just it's about my personal favorite.
Right. And I still haven't listened to what is a King Animal. I still haven't heard that
Yeah.
one yet. So, all right, so
I did.
we're gonna go old school with AC/DC.
That's a
And this
classic.
is Flick of the Switch.
That's a great record.
Yeah. I
It's
got some.
classic AC/DC. Does that one have This House Is on Fire on it?
Yes,
That
the second song, yeah.
that's a good great record.
Right.
You know, up there with For Those About to Rock, I think that came out after For Those About to Rock, We Salute You, early 80s. Is that 82, somewhere around there, that record?
I think it is 83,
Yeah, so
83.
they were on fire with, like, you know, Back to
Yes.
Black, For Those About to Rock, Flick of the Switch. I mean, those records, I mean, of course, Highway to Hell before that, and I mean,
Right.
that, like, string of records, man,
Killer, yeah.
they're awesome.
I still
Love them.
love the Bon Scott Highway to Hell more than any Bon Scott album before. I just think it's instant classic, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Well, since you said you like old school country, I figured I might go old school on you. And this
Okay.
is by far my favorite country band of all time, Alabama.
I'm familiar with Alabama. Play me some mountain music.
Yes,
Come on,
yes.
grandpa.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but I'm not, I
But
never
you,
got into that.
no?
I
Oh,
was
man.
there.
Yeah. Dude, go back to older, like early albums. They're all killer, you know? They're all killer to this day.
I do remember Alabama was really big when I was like in the 80s,
Yeah.
you know, early mid 80s. They were probably the biggest country band on the planet at that point
Yes.
in time. I
Yeah.
do remember that.
Yeah.
I just wasn't I
What
was
number? Yeah.
wasn't into that. Yeah.
More rock metal and punk, right?
Yes,
Hell yeah,
sir. Yeah,
brother.
I was listening to the
Yeah.
Dead Kennedys then instead
Yes.
of
Black
Alabama.
flag and every yeah, black flag and everything. Okay, so I got one more vinyl record, and then we'll
Okay.
get into your whole career. All right, so we got STP with Purple. Oh my
It's
God,
a good one.
this, yeah, huh?
One of the best albums of the grunge era.
Yeah.
I think their first four records are fantastic. You know, Core, Purple, Tiny Music, and then Number Four.
Number
Those
four, yeah.
first four records that STP did are they're awesome. I mean, that's probably their best one right there that you're holding in your hands. It's had the most hits.
I can't help but ask you, who was that high to have a baby on a dragon on the? Because when you look at this first time movie, you're like, what the hell? Who the hell are these guys? You know, but it's STP, man. You know, but Silver Gun, Superman, and Meat Plow are like one of my favorite, and Vaseline. You know,
Vaseline.
Vaseline is one of my all-time favorite songs on there for sure. You know.
Yep. That's you got some good records there, man. You got
I got the whole slew of them back here. But going back to Megadeth, were you influenced by Megadeth? And if you were, what are some of your favorite albums? Because they have a slew of albums that are great.
Megadeth was one of the bands that I listened to back in the day. I would say they were one of my favorite albums, but Peace Sells and So Far So Good. So the first couple records that they made were pretty influential. that's what I was listening. I was probably in junior high school at that time, and I was listening to a lot of Metallica and Master of Puppets, Injustice for All, Megadeth, who else? Jeez.
Yeah.
Anthrax.
Anthrax was a big deal.
State of Euphoria.
Yep.
Among the Living. Yeah, you know, I mean, those are just classic thrash metal albums. So I love thrash metal and hardcore punk. Like, you know, there's a fine line between the two, but I love those genres of music. I just went Friday night, I just went and saw Kerry King. Touring for his Municipal Waste opened for him, and I don't know if you're familiar with Municipal Waste, but I'd never seen them before, and they blew me away. I thought they blew the roof off the House of Blues, and people went crazy. And now I bought a couple of their discs. I ordered a couple,
because they're
like that fun kind of party music, but it's hardcore punk, borderline thrash. But they reminded me of Anthrax, like early Anthrax.
Right.
I love that. I love that kind of stuff.
Do you think that Slayer is going to return back in all cylinders? Because Kerry never wanted to, you know, obviously you know this, but Kerry never wanted to quit. And I guess it was too much on Tom and, you know, the lead singer for everybody who don't know. But
I don't know what they'll do. I mean, he says no. I'll tell you what, his new band, they're good. They're really good. I really like his new album. What was interesting, though, is, you know, when he's playing a solo show, so he played his whole new album, and he played a handful of Slayer songs. He only played, like, four Slayer songs, and he played a couple Iron Maiden covers.
Yeah.
And I told my friend, I said, the show was awesome, but unlike a Slayer show where they're going to that back catalog and playing all those hits, it would be like if Slayer toured and played the whole album of Repentless and only played a couple of the hits. You know, it would be a good show, but it wouldn't be like a Slayer show. I don't know. I mean, he would probably make more money going back with Slayer. Cause, I mean, they reformed for some of those festival dates and people went crazy.
Yep.
You know? I'd love to. I didn't get a chance to see him at any of the festivals, but I did go on their last tour and see him a couple times on, because they toured for like 3 years, and I saw him in a couple different
places. Because I saw him one time at the House of Blues, and that was the only show that I had to walk out of. Not because they were bad, because if I didn't walk out like 1 minute later, my ear would have busted, you know, eardrum. They were so loud in House of Blues, man. You know, House of Blues, Myrtle Beach. So I think they have their sound equipment like turn up to like 23 instead of 10. You know, it's like
right.
So all right. So first of all, I want to say congratulations because we're celebrating 20 years of Jib Machine Records, and that's amazing because I'm bad with math. You started this in 2010.
2004.
I
started it in 2004, and the website, the very first website, went live January 1st, 2005.
Okay.
But the label started technically in March of 2004. And so that's now 21 years now coming up here.
21 years, okay.
And It just, happened by accident. I was,
All right.
I had done a solo. I was in a couple bands that broke up, and then I had done a solo project. So I had like CDs, because people were still buying CDs, and I'm like, I'll just start a little label to distribute this stuff. And then in the process of doing that, I ended up starting a new band called Hot Ham and Cheese. And then Hot Ham and Cheese started playing out a lot. And bands that we were playing on bills with were like, hey, could we be on your record label? And then I kind of went from there. And
Yeah.
that's how it was, it was mainly a punk based label, because Hot Ham and Cheese was kind of hardcore punk.
Yeah.
We were basically a punk metal crossover,
Okay.
especially our earlier, right? We ended up getting more into progressive rock as time went
Right.
on. Those earlier records were very raw. And then just from there it started. And then during COVID, I signed Mike Gibbs' first major distribution deal and kind of really went international at that point. And now there are artists on the label from different parts of the United States, but also throughout Europe. And there's an artist from Australia on the
Yeah.
label as well. And so we've kind of we actually most months make more money in Europe than we do
Yeah.
in the United States, believe it or not. So
Dude, that's what I'm hearing about every independent artist. They're like, we make more elsewhere except for the US, because the US, I don't know if, well, you probably know this, but more US is more catered to pop music as opposed to rock and metal. It's all in your face every time you turn on TV. And I
well,
don't think they
everybody.
open their mind a little bit more, that they can,
I mean, the biggest tours are bands that have been around forever, right? There's still
Well,
underground, well, there's underground metal scenes and underground, EDM scenes, and there's all that. That never stops. But you see more. Most of the touring bands are bands that have been around forever, and have been established and have established fan bases. Europe is more. I mean, I just think there's more variety there. One of the artists on Gym Machine, Mike Onesko, is very popular in Europe. He's had a band called Blindside Blues Band for over 30 years. And Blindside has toured Europe a few times. And I actually went over there, had the pleasure to go over there with him in 2023. He did a 4-city tour of Poland. And that was phenomenal. The Polish people love rock music. They love money. They treated us like gold, and it was a really cool experience. Definitely don't see that love here, I
Dude,
can tell
no, right? Exactly.
you. Not like
So,
that.
right? Yeah, no, not like that at all. Yeah. So I'm looking at gymmachine.com for anybody who wants to go to tour tonight, and I'm looking on the roster page today. And when I scroll down the roster page, I'm like, Hot Ham and Cheese. That's like the greatest band name ever made. And I totally didn't know it was you on the, because it's three guys, you and two. Yeah. So could you tell us more about that, about Hot Ham and Cheese, as well as J Temp 13, because that's your other, I think that's your solo project, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So, Hot Ham and Cheese
Yeah.
started in 2005. We are currently on an indefinite we have been on an indefinite hiatus, as we refer to it,
Oh,
since 2019. So we
yeah.
went same three guys, Robbie Mitchell's the drummer and Louis Sticks is the bass player, and I played guitar and sang. And we pretty much went at it for about 14 years. We did four albums, four studio albums. We had a couple other extra. We did a covers record, and we did like kind of a in studio live record too at our 10-year anniversary. So we had a couple other albums, but we did four studio albums. We played all over the United States. And just kind of needed a break, and thought we had taken things, as far as we were going to take it. Decided that we were going to, go on this break, and played our last show in November of 2019, not knowing what was around the corner. So then everything shut down, and it was almost kind of like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. But so that was Hot Ham and Cheese. It was a I'm really proud of that stuff that we did, and will there ever be anything in the future? I don't know. Not I don't think anything in the near future, but you just never you never know. And JTEM 13 is just my solo project. I've been going under that name since 2008. And I just wrapped up a new EP. I literally got the final mix of the last song yesterday.
Oh,
So
nice.
that's going to be coming out if all goes well, March 28th. And it's called the Red EP. So,
Okay, yeah. Cause you have America or Bust on Spotify, and I think I listened to She Makes Me or something that reminds me of the Megadeth, guitar playing. Yeah, and that's great. And you have an awesome song called wait, Canopsia? Canopsia? Yeah, that man, that's killer.
Thank you,
Yeah,
man.
that's really, really, really killer. I love it. I love it. So I'm
Thanks.
definitely gonna put that on my Spotify list.
I appreciate that, James. Yeah. America or Bust was a full-length record. Most of that I recorded during COVID, during lockdown. That's what I did. That's what kept
Hey
staying.
man, you gotta do something, right? You
That
gotta
was
do,
my lockdown. Every musician had a lockdown album. That was my
Hey man,
lockdown
everybody was trying to find stuff to do, because what could
Right.
you do? I started this podcast, and like you other musicians, like started recording, into this great stuff. But I just wanted to find out more about HiHiMCheese, because that's like the greatest band name ever made, and I.
It's funny that you say that. People have said to me the opposite. People have said what you said.
Really?
But they laugh and they're like, that's the greatest band name ever. And then other people have said that is the
That's
dumbest
the
name for a
stupidest,
band ever.
right?
Yeah. So it's
That's the
whatever. It's
dumbest, right?
eye of the beholder, I guess.
But I think more like positivity, and like that's great, because it's like, how do you mean, geez, I gotta see this, I gotta hear this. What you're, it's just like a Crowbar, that's the dumbest thing in my life, but they're so good,
They're awesome.
because I
Kurt.
would. Cause I went to their show in New Brooklyn Tavern before it shut down, and they played amazing, and they slaughtered it.
Nice.
So
Where are you
Kurt,
located, James? Where are you located?
Lexington, South Carolina.
Oh, okay. You're in South Carolina. Okay,
Yeah, so I'm
cool.
about 20 minutes from Columbia, South Carolina. Yeah,
Okay,
so
great.
yeah, we have great venues. We got the new Brooklyn Tavern, we got the Senate, and we have Art Bar. I don't know if you heard of the Art Bar or the Senate,
No.
but they're staples here now,
Cool.
and of course the everlasting New Brooklyn Tavern moved, and I'm sure you've heard of New Brooklyn Tavern over and over and over again. But okay, so I want to go back to when you first started this record label, and it's an independent label. It's not a huge company like those other ones. How did you start this company? Because I know it's always hard starting a business. So if you would enlighten us and me, because I'm interested in starting something like this too later on in my, hopefully in my career. But how did you start it, and was it too difficult?
So I think most labels, indie labels get started like an artist is either distributing their stuff or a person has a love for music or a specific kind of music. And they just want to put it out with the world, share it with the world. I'm friends with a label in Williamsburg, Virginia called Twice as High Records. And Ryan, I don't I, he is a musician, but he just wanted to start a vinyl record label that puts only vinyl out. And so he started it. So I think it's you either are a musician trying to distribute your own stuff or your friend's stuff, or you're someone that's very interested in music and just wants to put it out, wants to network with bands and help them put their music out and get it to an audience. I think that's typically how indie labels get started. Mine, again, I needed just something to distribute this new music that I put out. Plus, I had a bunch of CD boxes of CDs that needed to be sold from previous bands. And then it was really underground and indie for a long
Got
time
it.
until it's really gotten more involved the last since 2020, since I signed with CPI Distribution. And then things kind of went to a much more professional level. And I spend a lot more time and energy on it now than I ever have, and money too.
Yeah, right.
Because it's your music business, it becomes more difficult. It's just one of it's like anything else. I think everything's changing. Like the world is changing, and trying to be creative where you still maintain some aspects of how record labels maybe used to run, but then what are the new thing? What are the new ways to get your to get artists out there, and to be able to be able to make sure that everybody's making a little bit of cash too, so you can keep it going.
Exactly.
But it is that's just basically it started. It wasn't like I set out to start a record label; it just kind of happened, and it was part of the. I was really involved with Hot Amy Cheese for a very long time, and but when Hot Amy Cheese ended, it's ironic that that's when I signed this distribution deal, and then I've been putting way more effort into the label the last, 5 years or so. Just kind of how my journey went, I guess.
Well,
I
there you go, man. You
don't know.
got to start from the bottom somewhere, right? Without going too deep into details, because I know this is personal and I don't want to get into your information like
Yeah,
that. But
sure.
a lot of people want to know, is starting a label, especially in independent, expensive at first and then it gradually gets better, or was it kind of like do what you can at first and then, fake it till you make it kind of deal.
I think it's as you could spend as much money as you want to. I mean,
Right.
do you want to be an all digital only label, then your costs will be lower because you're not replicating
It's
stuff. If you're gonna put
right.
vinyl out, then you're talking a much greater investment
Right.
versus CDs are still cheap. Even cassettes, you can get cassettes made. There's a lot of boutique cassette labels. Ultimately, most music is consumed via digital now.
Yeah.
But Jib does put out short run of CDs, short runs of cassettes. We did our first vinyl record with in conjunction with Twice as High Records last year. We did a Rush tribute album
Yeah, I wasn't
called
good at
Rush
that.
Forever.
Yeah, I wasn't good at that. I'm probably gonna buy it, dude, because I love Orange and Vinyl Records. I'm like, oh
Yeah.
my God, yes, this is, oh, yeah, and I love Rush, so hell yeah.
That was a really fun project, and there's a band on the label from Akron, Ohio. I actually have a call with them on Tuesday of this week. They're called Flock of Moons. I just signed them last year, and they have a vinyl record coming out. That's what we're going to discuss Tuesday, because they finally got the call from the manufacturer. Because with vinyl, you have to wait, because there's a waiting list. There's been And then when you get your record, then like one thing we're going to talk about Tuesday is, okay, now that we know the record's done, it's coming, what's going to be the release date? And then we'll put our mark. We kind of have talked, just some potential plans, but really put a marketing plan in place and how we're going to, market this record, and then execute that plan,
Dude, I don't know about you, but I love colored vinyl records. Because it's like it's so like, yeah, it's all passe, I don't know if you like colored vinyls, but
I
so
do.
now do you or the artist like pick their vinyl colors? Because there's like 1,000 colors, so I know, so do you talk to your artist about vinyl colors, or do you just straight black like most
So,
time?
Flock of Moons is, I don't, they just did what they wanted to do. I had no input on that. When Ryan, the owner of Twice as High, when he and I were putting the Rush record together, we wanted to get two different colors, and the artwork was done. And based on what the artwork looked like, we definitely wanted to do orange because it matched. And then blue, there was blues too, so it made sense to do blue. So that's what we decided on. I mean, we talked about it, and we said based on the artwork, I think it would make sense if we did. Like they called it opaque creamsicle was the orange, and then opaque sky blue was the blue record. So we just discussed that, and there's a bunch of colors that you can choose from, based on the manufacturer that you're using, and that's what we did.
Nice. So, do we know what date in April the Flock of Moons vinyl is coming out?
I don't.
Or
I don't
is that like
oh, I'm saying tentative April.
Or is that like a Tuesday conversation?
I have to talk to them Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday
Yeah.
where I got a text from them last. We met around the holidays, and at that time, we still weren't sure when the vinyl was going to be done. And then I got a text from their drummer this past week saying they called me, they're shipping the vinyl. And I said, okay, we need to meet and figure out next steps now.
Yeah,
So that's kind
nice.
of how that'll go.
Nice, nice, nice. So with a record label, I'm very interested in this, man. I don't know if you can tell, but okay. So how do you find these amazing artists, or like do you go to their shows, or do you get emails from them? I mean, like how does that all happen?
It's happened all different ways.
Okay.
Some of the bands, like earlier bands like Hostile Amish, Johnny Mohawk and the Assassins, Haughty Dame and Cheese used to play with those guys all the time. So
Yeah.
they were bands that we would play shows with. Cleo Alexandra, I knew her from someone that I was involved in a project in Los Angeles with Slam and Gladys. Through Slam and Gladys, I met a man by the name of David Shackler, who had been in the music business a long time. David was instrumental in introducing me to the Clay, who's the person that runs the distro company that Jim Machine signed with. He had worked with Cleo Alexandra with in before, and she had I guess that didn't work out, or she had gone away for a while. She moved to Europe, then moved back to Australia, wanted to revitalize her career and move forward again. And then that's how I got involved with that.
Yeah.
Flock of Moons emailed me.
Oh,
You know,
great.
so there's all different there's different ways that artists have come to the label. I either was friends of friends, or I played directly with these bands, or they worked with
Right, yeah.
business associate artists worked with business associates who I was now involved with, who said you should take a look at this artist, or they contact me directly. All different ways. It's happened all different ways.
Yeah. It's all about networking, you know, and the more people you know, the more communications you have with that person, somebody might know someone else. So yeah, so it's a great thing, networking, and like you said, you've been playing music for years and years, and so you got, you know, relationships from everybody, you know. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, my parents were actually in a band together. So I've been
Oh,
playing music my entire life. And
right.
it's weird because I've even collaborated with people that they were in bands with.
Yeah.
You know, so
Yeah.
so I've maintained those relationships since I was a little kid. And so I'm 50 now, and I performed live for the first time when I
I
was
don't
five.
think you're telling me the truth, buddy. You're not 50. You
Dude,
look
I'm
like
50.
34. You
Thank
look
you.
30. You look 30. You look like, yeah, because I'm 45, and some people say I look like 24, but it's like the beard I
Yeah,
got,
you
you
don't look
know.
45.
Nope. That's what everybody else
That's
said. Yeah, I think we found the fountain of youth, brother, you know?
right.
Yeah, I don't know where it is, but we found it, you know? So, yeah. But one thing that I wanted to, okay, so two things I want to talk to you about is one thing that first we talk about. You have an artist by the name of Eli Guitar Man Fletcher, and you told me today that he passed away in December. But you said that he left specific instructions on his final album coming out soon, later this year. Could you tell us about Eli the man, and what, I mean, if we can, what specific instructions he left for you? Or yeah.
So Eli's real name was Keith Thornhill, and he went by the name of Eli Fletcher. And then he eventually developed an alter ego in Cleveland, Guitar Man, where he would dress up like a superhero, and he
Yeah.
was a street musician. And you wouldn't believe how, since he's passed, you wouldn't believe the outpouring of love and support. Like Cleveland loved Guitar Man, you know.
Oh,
But
yeah.
I met Eli back in the early days of the label. My buddy Reggie and I used to do an internet radio show before podcasting became a thing. Like
Yeah,
it was
right. Yeah.
live internet radio, but it was essentially podcasting. And he was on our show one night, and we became friends. And then a few years later, he and I talked about him being a part of Jim Machine, and I signed him. And we went on to, in 2012, we released his first album, Stop This Bus. And then he proceeded to release four more records on Jim Machine with his last one being Heads or Tails, which came out in 2021. And then Eli, he's had some health issues the past couple years, and then he, you know, he don't know exactly how he passed, but pretty sure probably had
Yeah.
something with his heart or, you know,
Yeah,
something
protocol.
like
Yeah. Okay.
that. So we had his 65th birthday would have been this past Tuesday. So
Yeah.
his friend Belinda and his friend Jerry and some of his old friends and bandmates and myself, we all kind of pitched in and put together the celebration of life for him. And it was great. And yeah, it was a good send off, I think, for a great human being. Eli was just a unique soul.
Right.
A couple years ago, he sent me an email, and the subject line was, "In the event of my eventual demise," and it had artwork files, and basically he wanted it to be like a greatest hits record. So he left the, you know, decision on what to put on it up to me. It will be a
Oh,
double
okay.
disc. I can tell you this: it will be a double disc. There will be a couple songs from all his albums, but there'll be a lot of stuff that people have never heard, like some
Right.
unreleased and rare tracks. And so, yeah, that's he wanted it to be called Clueless. So Eli Fletcher Clueless will
Yeah.
come out at some point, probably later 2025. I've got most of it compiled. I'm kind of waiting on some things. I'm going to get together with Eli's old bandmate, Jim Gockel. Eli was in a band for many years called the Joe Average Band in the
Okay.
80s,
Right.
90s.
Yeah.
And Jim's got a lot of rare stuff that no one's ever heard. And he's like, you know, we gotta talk about this. Yeah. So I don't want to put something, since this
No,
is
yeah.
his last day, I want to make sure that I exhaust every possibility to find tracks that are unreleased rather than just rehashing and putting stuff out.
Right.
I'm definitely gonna put like his best songs on it, but at the
Yeah.
same time, I want to try to get, you know, stuff that people haven't heard from him on that as well, and kind of, and some artists have expressed an interest in doing a tribute record to him too, like re-recording some of his songs. So we'll probably work on that throughout this year as
Yeah.
well.
Nice, nice. Well, please tell us when it comes out later on in the year, so I can plug it on this podcast for sure. I want to help you in any way I can, you know. So
Yeah,
that's amazing.
sign up for Jib's email list at
Okay.
jibmachine.com, and that I do a newsletter at least one or two a month
Okay.
that kind of talks about the new releases, new videos, you know, tours that may happen, artists that may be playing shows or tours or things of that nature. So I'm always trying to keep people that follow the label up to date, in addition to the obviously social posts and that sort of
Right.
thing,
Yeah.
and doing podcasts like this. You know, having that email newsletter is something I've been doing since the label started. So
Right,
it's a good
right.
way to keep informed.
Nice, nice. Well, I got one more thing I want to talk to you before I give you my I ask you two more questions that in this podcast. But I can't help but I fell in love with this Crossroad Overdrive album.
Yeah.
It's featuring Blindstone and Peter Harbinson. Harbinson? Okay, yeah.
So Crossroad Overdrive is
Yes,
Martin.
it's a cover album, correct?
Right.
Yes, which
Correct.
is great.
And it's a guitar player from Denmark named Martin Jepsen Andersen, who also plays, he's played on Blindside Blues Band records, and he toured with the Blindside Blues Band in Poland when I was there, the one I just told you about earlier.
Yeah.
So Martin and I got to know each other while we were on that tour in Poland. And he said, you know, one of these days I wouldn't mind doing something with Jib, because Martin's got his hand in many things.
Everything, right? Yeah.
He's got a lot going on. So, long story short, this record, Crossroad Overdrive, it's him and his son, and they had been working on it for 5 years. And he reached out to me like last spring, and he said, "I got this record." It was supposed to come out on another label, but for various reasons that didn't happen. And he
Yeah.
said, "Would Jim Machine be interested?" And he sent me some of the tracks, and I'm like,
Like, hell yeah,
"Hell yeah, I'll be
dude.
interested." And it's no, it's
Yeah.
that album's
It's
amazing,
great. Yeah.
and it's done really well, streaming wise. Like the streaming numbers are really good on a record, and it's a great album. And Martin's an awesome guy, and
Yeah.
I like working with cool people and really talented artists, and that I'm really proud of that album, Crossroad Overdrive. That is, it's, yeah, it's still a couple of the songs charted in on the Dutch charts, and so it's done really well, and it's well, the accolades are well deserved, because it
Yeah.
they took songs that everybody knows. I mean, a lot of those songs are very well known, and they made them their own.
Yeah,
And
yes.
there's a
Yes.
consistent thread through that record, and it just sounds phenomenal. Martin did a great job producing it. It just sounds awesome. I love that
The
record.
whole album's great, but there's two songs on there that really spoke to me out loud, you know. And that's Not Fragile by Bachman Turner Overdrive. I love that because I can remember when my uncle Junior, he's not here with us anymore. So that means a lot. That song means a lot to me. He's like, check this out. Play that song, and I'm like, I fell in love with BTO instantly, you know. That's just one of them. But the other one is Mountain Mississippi Queen. I can't tell you how much that song means to me right now. I don't think anybody, I haven't heard of anybody talk about Leslie West in forever. You know, there's like one or two like fanatics about him, but that guy should be praised more than
I
what he is
agree.
now, because he was just a monster on guitar, you know.
I would agree. And Not Fragile, it's funny you say that. That is the last time I checked, that was the most streamed song from the record,
Yes.
was Not
Yeah.
Fragile. I love Zeppelin. I
Yeah,
love the
yeah, Black
Black
Dog,
Dog.
yeah.
Version of
Yeah.
Black Dog is
It's
phenomenal.
great, yeah.
And it takes some huge cojones to do Black Dog, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
Yeah.
you just don't copy Black Dog, you know, but
No, right.
they killed it. I love that. I love
Yeah.
that version.
Yeah, they did. And especially like you got Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, Stormbringer, and Whipping Post, and just amazing songs. So
Really, Dave does a really cool version of Love the One You're With.
yes. Yep.
That charted, that's the that's that and Whipping Post are the two songs that charted on the Dutch Hot Tracks chart.
That was Peter Frampton, right? Love the One You Left.
No, Stephen Stills. Stills.
I always get Peter Frampton and him mixed up for some reason. I'm not sure why, but you know, it's a business brain of mine, you know. But so it's called, for anybody who wants to download it, it's called Crossroad Overdrive, featuring Limestone and Peter Hermanson. And I will link it below to so you can go to that audio album, I guess. I'm mixing my words here. And download it. You can download it on anything, Spotify, Apple Music, you know, everything. So we got two more questions for you, and well, actually three more if you don't mind. Okay. So let's go back to your teenage years, you know, way back when, right? So if John Templeman, right, was in his room, looking around his room, what musical posters would he see, and he could tell us?
I had a poster of, I could still see it on my wall, like the for many, many years, the one poster that was constant was Randy Rhoads.
Yes.
I grew up listening to Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Queen. But Ozzy, and I'd say Van Halen really influenced me too. When I was probably, 9, 10 years old. I was listening to Zeppelin and Sabbath when I was little, but then
Yeah.
Ozzy solo, Van Halen, when I was like right around 9 or 10 years old, I really started getting into that stuff. But and then I had a poster of Randy Rhoads on my wall.
Yeah.
I had Queen stuff, not like the News of the World
Yeah.
cover with the robot.
Yeah, that was a killer
I'm trying to think what
CD
else.
too.
The
Yeah.
Randy Rhoads poster sticks out. That's cool.
Yeah,
Like
man.
that was
Yeah.
up there forever, the Randy Rhoads poster.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay. Oh, okay. Well, since we're talking about Ozzy, who do you think? Okay, so we're not gonna do Randy Rose because he's like the cream of the crop. Okay. Who would you think is like Because he's had a lot of guitarists, okay?
Yeah.
He's had from J.T. Lee to Gus G to like Wild Steel, okay? Who do you think was his best guitarist ever made? Besides, right, we can't use Randy, because, I mean, Randy is, you know, he's like the godfather of them all, but, you know, because he got some great ones.
Jack was with him a long time.
Yeah.
J.T. Lee played on two phenomenal records, though. I mean, Bark at the Moon and Ultimate Sin are great albums.
Classic.
I saw him a couple times live with Gus G, and Gus G blew my mind.
Killed it, right? Yeah.
I don't know, man. That's a hard question, because I think they all bring something different to the table.
That's exactly what I was up. Yeah.
But I think if you had to pick one, I would pick Zach, only because he was with Ozzy for so long and had such a huge influence on his sound. And, you know, he was on great No Rest for the Wicked and
classic albums too, you know.
Mama, I'm Coming Home, you know, like really, or No More Tears, not Mama, I'm Coming Home.
But yeah,
no
well, it's the same, same record, same album. Yeah.
Like he was just such a huge part of Ozzy's sound for a long time.
Yeah.
But Jake Ely played on two amazing records. But I mean, you can't stop. I think Ozzy's solo, his best record is Diary of a Man's Man, hands down.
Right.
I mean, Blizzard of Oz is good too. But
Blizzard of Oz is great. Yeah.
Nothing's better than Diary of a Madman.
Yeah. And that's the common theme here is Diary. It's, you know.
Yeah.
But I would like to. I've never seen Gus G live. I've only heard him play, but that guy was a monster. And I think his best one was Firewind, right?
Yeah.
But blew him away. So yeah. So it's a really hard choice, just like you said, because they all bring something different to the table. You know,
They're all different guitarists. You know, similar but very different at the same time.
Exactly. Okay, so we got two more questions. So we're going to do a Mount Rushmore of your favorite bands or artists. Who would they be? You got four of them. A lot of people said, can I have five? And I'm like, sure, you know?
Okay, so
who is your four? And if you wanted to add a fifth one,
So bands are included, right?
Bands, artists, yeah. Bands or artists.
Man, this is tough.
Yeah. I'm bringing the tough to you now.
man. Okay. So I'd have to go. It's
tough. Yeah.
It's tough. So I grew up, I love Motley Crue, but the way Motley Crue's gone lately, I can't really get behind. Shout at the Devil will always probably the most influential record, that and the White Album, I would say, probably influenced me. But if I had to go with bands per se,
yeah,
I would say Led Zeppelin.
Okay, that's one.
I would say Queen.
Two, great band.
I would say the Melvins.
Punk, great, yeah. You got one more.
Okay, so I love jam band music, believe it or not, and I love Fish is one of my favorite bands of all time, so I'll throw Fish up there. I mean, I could go, you asked me next week, I'd probably give you four more different names, but I mean, those bands were those are from different time. Well, Zeppelin and Sabbath were kind of from the same time, but like Fish and the Melvins, they're kind of from different times.
Yeah, that's why I always say it's like as soon as you get off here with me, it's gonna change instantly. You're like, oh no, if I got Tool or Nirvana or like, you know, Black Sabbath or Alice in Chains, you know, so who knows, you know. Yeah, so this is great. Okay, so the very last question is gonna be harder than the last one.
Okay.
So is there a album, artist, or song that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me, your fans or your parents, how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? You're like, you connect with it most, you know, out of every other song.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it just speaks to your soul, you connect with it. It's so powerful,
Man, I don't know.
Okay.
That's I honestly don't know. That's a good question. It's kind of when Melissa reached out to me about your podcast like a month ago, and I looked at your website, and I just thought, what a cool concept, right? That we all have things that we go through. Everybody experiences some sort of mental illness, mental, anxiety, depression. I mean, whatever. I just think music in general, there's some days I just want to chill out and listen to some deep house music or some acoustic music, and then there's times I want to rage and listen to thrash and death metal. And then there's times I just want to get old school and listen to 70s music. I was listening to an old Casey Kasem countdown from 1977 on
Some,
70.7 Sirius earlier today. So just whatever kind of mood you're in, music is, it's always kind of been my religion. Like
Yes, exactly.
it's what I've always turned to. And in terms of creating music, if I wasn't able to do that, I don't know how I would deal with half the things in life. I mean, being able to create is a gift that it's not something I don't think you, at least I didn't realize when I was younger what a gift it was. But as I've gotten older and can look back on my life and take stock, some of my most favorite times are when I've been in the studio creating music. And I don't really listen to a lot of music that I've recorded, but every once in a while, when I listen to a record from, say, 10 years ago, it puts me back
It just brings flood
to
back. It's
that
like great memories.
mindset, and it makes me remember what was going through my head. And sometimes I go, "Boy, I miss that guy." And sometimes I'll go, "God, I don't miss that guy."
He can stay there, right?
Yeah, he could stay there in the past. So it's music to me, just in general. I don't know if there's any, to guess, to answer your question in a roundabout way, I don't think there's one particular song.
Well, that's fair.
I just think it's music in general that is probably the most important thing in my life. It isn't a human being. Isn't my mom or my girlfriend or my sister or my nephew. It's magic.
Yes,
Magic.
exactly.
You know what I
Music
mean? I don't know how else to say it.
music
It's
is magic. Is that you're
magic.
exactly right on it. Yeah, you're exactly right. Music is magic, all the way.
So, even when you ask me about country, I don't particularly like country, but I know a lot of people that do. And if that's what works for you, have at it. Great.
Dude, I swear to God, if you just go back in the early Alabama days, you'll love it.
I will check some
Dude,
Alabama out
I swear to God,
because you told me to.
yes, you will love it, dude. Alabama's the shit. It's like they're like the greatest country band alive. Of course, you got your Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash's, but Alabama just does something to me. I don't know what it is. It's just powerful music. That's all it is. Music is magic. I mean, yeah, music is magic, just like you just said.
That's right.
So, all right. So we're gonna give you okay. So we have lots of stuff to plug for you. Okay. So we're gonna do. Okay. So, J Tim 13 is coming out with another EP on March 28th. Did I get
That's
that
right.
right? All right.
That's
So,
correct.
and that EP is called
The Red EP.
the Red EP. All right.
It's not
So.
really, it's a, that's not going to be listed anywhere on the album cover, but that's what it's going to be called.
Okay. All right.
And people will understand why when they see the album cover. So it's
Secrets, right?
the Red
Nice.
EP.
Nice.
Yes.
All
Yeah.
right. And always go to Spotify to check out his America or Bust EP. It's got five killer tracks on there for sure. And we have Flock of Moons vinyl releasing in April. We're not sure of the date yet, so make sure you check on that. And make sure you go to Apple Music or Spotify to download Crossroad Overdrive. I will leave a link in the description. And stay tuned for the big unveiling of Eli Guitar Man Fletcher. Okay, so that's gonna have bonus songs. It's gonna be a double CD. And that's going to have songs that no one's heard before, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and I just want to give them.
The Blindside Blues Band, when they were in Poland, the main show they went over to play, the Sadder Blues, their set was recorded live, and that live album's coming out late spring, early summer too. So Blindside Blues Band, Live at Sadder Blues 2.
Okay.
Because there is a Live at Sadder Blues that came out in 2018. So this is Live at Sadder Blues 2 coming out probably May or June. Nice. That'll be a late spring, early summer release. And as we talked about offline, Gym Machine's 20th anniversary compilation is also available too.
Yes. So
a lot of good songs on that.
I do want to apologize. We didn't get around to talking about Cleo Alexandria and David Curtis Band. They got new stuff on the way too, correct?
Yeah, they've got stuff on the horizon as well. I just talked to David Curtis last week. He was getting four new songs mastered. One of them is a collaboration with Jared from Head PE. Do you ever hear? Remember Head PE?
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, the guy that's the singer did a collaboration with David Curtis on.
Oh, nice.
On
a
new song. That's coming out sometime this year.
Okay.
So there's a lot of new music from Gym Machine on the horizon. It's just when it's going to come out.
Right. Which is killer too. Yeah. So, and if you hear J Temp 13, John Band, his website is temp131.bandcamp.com, right?
I guess I think if you go to jtemp13.com, it should take you to that.
Okay, yeah.
It should redirect to my Bandcamp page.
Okay, nice. And he's also on Instagram, jtemp13 music.
jtemp13 music, that's my Instagram. And Gym Machine's on Instagram. Gym Machine's on Facebook. We're not on TikTok. I don't
know. TikTok's weird. But also one more thing before we go. Go to jimmachine.com and order your Rush for Cover album. It has orange vinyl and blue vinyl. So I'm probably gonna pick up both of them because the colors are killer and I love Rush.
If you want more specific information, there's actually a specific website, rushforcover.com. If you go to rushforcover.com, you can buy the vinyl. There's information about the record itself, and really proud of that. It's gotten really good reviews, and one thing that people said about it that yeah, I think it's true. And I think if you're going to do a Rush record, it was the way to go, which is
no one
tried to sound like Rush.
Everyone
did their interpretation of the song, and it was done in tribute to a master band. Yeah, no one tried to be Rush on that record because you can't be. There's only one Rush. And so I think that the goal to make a tribute record was accomplished with Rush for Cover. I think we accomplished that.
Nice.
And the people that have listened to it have noticed that as well, that's what we were trying to do. We weren't trying to, you know,
be anybody, but yeah. So right. Awesome. Awesome. Right. Yeah. So, John, we do honestly want you to come back anytime you want to. Maybe I can work in the future sometime with something, you know, something going on. I would love to stay in contact with you.
Please
and,
do.
I'll probably give you my number after we end this episode. I just want to give you a big shout out. You've done amazing things, and congratulations on your 21st year. 21st, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we celebrated 20 last year, celebrating 21 years this year. Oh hell yeah, brother! Yeah.
Jib can legally drink now.
Yes. exactly. Yeah. So hopefully not too much. You know, you still got Jib's got to drive home. You know. But we honestly love you, and we want you to come back anytime you want to. Okay.
Thanks, James. Take care, buddy.
Yes, sir. You too. You too. And with that said, everybody, thank you for listening, and always remember: when words fail, music speaks. Bye, guys. We got it. Thank you so much.
Nice job.
Dude, I love talking to you. This is great.
Anytime you want to do this again, I'm happy to do so.
And I will give you my number on the phone, just like I said before, in the chat. And I hope the guys...
You know what? Email it to me. You have my email, right? Do you have my email?
Yes, I think so.
Just email it to me.
Okay,
That'd be
yeah.
easier way.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I do want to work with you in some kind of form or capacity, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, maybe we can work together sometime this year, you know. Because I know you got a lot of stuff to do this year, you know, with releases coming out. But yeah, let's definitely keep in touch, man.
Sounds good, man.
Yeah. So okay,
All
then.
right.
I'm going to release this probably next week, and then I'm going to email this to Melissa, and then Melissa, or I'm going to email you and Melissa.
That's
Keep your
great.
boss line, and then y'all can release it, you know,
Yeah, we'll put it
to
on. I'll put it
whoever.
on our socials. I'll have it added to our website, all that good stuff.
Cool, brother. All right, man. All right, you take care, okay?
Bye, James. Take care,
Bye
buddy.
bye. You
Thank you.
too. Bye bye.